I'm about to read y'all some of those red letter words. This is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, beginning with verse 14. To put it into context, these words of Jesus, these red letter words, happened just after the Beatitudes. So Jesus has just given some of his most important teachings to his disciples and the followers that he has gathered along the way. And this what comes next. This is Jesus telling them, yes, I've given you these Beatitudes, and this is how you should do it. This is how you should be. Hear these words. You are the light of the world. You know, I've been saying the devil really doesn't want us to have these revivals. Our first one was supposed to be in Old Town. Stacy and I came down with COVID the day before, and we had to reschedule. Then our district superintendent, Catherine, she sends her regards today. She was supposed to be here today, and she's very heartbroken she can't be, but her covenant, longtime covenant sister, passed away, and her funeral's today. But Catherine said, please go ahead and have it. Know I'll be here in spirit. Then one of our other speakers, Kathy Yoakum, she was supposed to be here today, but one of her close friends passed away, and her funeral's today. And then I started looking at the weather report for today. Tornadoes, wind, rain. But I said that's not going to keep us from meeting today. We're having this revival. So hear these words. Jesus says, you are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it in the bushel basket, but on the lampstand. And it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, Jesus says, in the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Amen. This is the word of God for the people of God, and God's people say,
thanks be to God.
I'd like you to pray for me in sharing this message as I pray for each of you in receiving it. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be good and right and joyful and acceptable in your sight. For you truly are, each and every day, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, friends, it's no secret when we turn on our televisions, when we turn on our Facebooks, when we read the newspapers, when we're discussing world events with our friends and family, that there sure seems to be a lot of chaos and bad happening all around the world. Wars, rumors of war, hate, division, seems to be everywhere. People are struggling. They're hurting. Disease, broken relationships, you name it. Hunger, both physically and emotionally and spiritually. This world seems like it can be, and most of the time is, a dark and chaotic and dangerous place. But yet, here's the good news. I firmly believe with all of my heart and soul and mind that only faith and trust in Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit can heal the brokenness of our times and lives. When we rely on that Holy Spirit power, when we use what God has given us, the resources, the people, the relationships, when we really tap into that and use that, there is no limit of what we can accomplish here on this earth for the glory of God. Because we have the Holy Spirit's power, We don't have to live in the pit any longer. We don't have to be defined by those things that attempt to swallow us up. Jesus Christ and His work on the cross and His resurrection has redeemed that. We have the ability to live into the Spirit, to accomplish more with the Spirit's power than we ever thought possible.
Amen.
God gives us His unlimited grace and His unconditional love. It doesn't matter where you've been in your life, or what you've done, or what you didn't do. That defines you now. You can be redeemed, washed clean, and transformed from the inside out. God promises us that. Jesus Christ's work on the cross and His redemption and resurrection promises that, guarantees it. In this scripture lesson, Jesus is telling His disciples what He's really doing is getting them ready for the day when He's not physically present with them any longer. The disciples don't quite understand that yet, even though they've been traveling with Him for some years at this point, and He's been telling them very clearly who He is and why He's here, they still don't get it. And what He's doing is preparing them for that time when He's no longer physically present, and it's their turn to do His work, guaranteed by His Spirit. So Jesus, after He teaches these wonderful beatitudes, He tells them, this is how you do it. You're the light of the world. I like to think of the Holy Spirit, in addition to wind, is light. It's that light God gives us. In the Bible, light is synonymous with goodness and grace. So the light is God's Holy Spirit, God's love, within us, that never leaves us, never forsakes us, and takes us out of the pits of despair and dissension and anger and into a new realm of glory and love and compassion. Jesus is the light. We don't claim to be Jesus. But what we do claim is that we are ambassadors of Jesus Christ's light, of His Holy Spirit.
Yes.
I noticed you all have a lighthouse down here on the communion table. That's what we are. We're lighthouses showing God's love and grace to all that we meet, whether we know them or not, whether we like them or not. We're called to be God's lighthouses full of grace and truth to a hurting and dark and chaotic world.
Yes.
And by the way, Jesus didn't suggest this. He didn't say, guys, when I'm gone, it would be really nice if you all did this. It's His commandment. He left us.
Yes.
To do His good work. One church I was appointed at, a small church in a small community, lightning hit. Lightning hit the church and struck me really closely. It struck not me directly, but 6 feet from me. And that's pretty directly, that's pretty close. I felt a current of electricity. My hair stood up on my arms. I felt all tingly inside. It hit the back of my office door, went through the office door, split the bathroom walls, and then exited the church through some rebar inside the wall. One of the most defining experiences of my life. And how would you like to be the pastor who was struck by lightning in her own church? You can imagine my reputation. in that community. But what it did was force us out of a building that was swallowing us whole. We could not, there's no doubt in my mind that church would be closed right now if it tried to hang on to that building. It was much too big for that community. It sat, probably 1,400 people, and there were probably about 3,500 in the community. It was built way too big for a different time and a different place. And it was literally crumbling all around us. I could hear the rats running in the ceiling, crumbling. And so we had to make the decision, what are we going to do? Are we going to try to hang on to this building and let that define us? Are we going to be brave enough and courageous enough to follow what the Holy Spirit is obviously trying to tell us and do something new? We ended up worshiping in an elementary school cafeteria. And if you've ever been in an elementary school cafeteria on Sunday mornings, it sure is sticky from all the syrup and breakfasts and ketchup on Fridays. It's a lot of work. You have to pull in and pull out chairs. You have to set up a sound system. Things I can tell you that I was never trained for in seminary. But we kept working and worshiping. People talked bad about us around town. We didn't pay that any mind. Kept worshiping God. And He kept delivering us and providing us just what we needed. And friends, the church began to grow. Everyone said we were done for. And all of a sudden, that elementary school cafeteria was filled up with people wanting to see this lady pastor who was struck by lightning in her own church. With the rats running across the ceiling. But then guess what? They stayed. We started doing new things. I was sitting in a bar in town having a drink with a friend one Friday night. And something came over me and I looked at her and I said, wouldn't it be cool and awesome if we could have a Bible study up here in this bar? And my friend turned to me and said, Sarah, they're going to run you out of town. I said, no, they ain't. So I announced it to church on Sunday, really didn't know what reception I would have. Everyone clapped. The next Tuesday, we were at that wine bar, and it was full of people having a Bible study right there. And people would come in and out, not of the church, and they would join us and have questions, and we would pray. And some came to church, and a lot didn't. But I have no doubt the Holy Spirit touched their lives. I remember having a conversation with the bar owner, who was also the bartender. And I was packing up one night, and she came to me. She was an immigrant from Korea, and she came to me, and she said, you know, I've never been to church in my life. In Korea, we didn't worship Jesus Christ. I didn't know anything about this. But I want you to know this. I've not just been pouring drinks. I've been listening. And I have found that Jesus Christ has saved my soul. I have a relationship in Jesus Christ, and these last 6 weeks have been the most peaceful my life has ever been. Things, Pastor, are just falling into place. That's the Holy Spirit working. I remember another week, there was this young man. He was about 20 years old. We always had a time of prayer. And he raised his hand and he said, I have never prayed before in my life. I didn't even know what that was before I came and started working here. But my grandfather died last night and he starts crying. And he said, could you please pray for him and for me? He raised me. I'm brokenhearted. The Holy Spirit was working and put him in the place he needed to be to get through that heartbreaking time in his life. You have to have the courage and be willing to take a risk in order to live into the Holy Spirit's leading. And then by working with the Holy Spirit leading you, see what those and all that ministry and work produce. We could have stayed sitting in that crumbling building until they came and repossessed the property. But this congregation was willing to step away from their beloved church, and it was a holy place, to try something new and different, to influence that community for Jesus Christ in a way they couldn't have before. That's what we do when we shine God's light. When we're the people and who live into the promise of what God created us to do in the first place. I brought something with me today. It doesn't look like much, but it's my prized possession. It's one of those old kerosene lanterns. My grandfather had it probably since the late 1930s, early 1940s. My grandfather and father were commercial mullet fishermen. So were their grandparents and their grandparents before them. It's my heritage. That's the work they did. Pastor Shannon and I stayed at Shell Point last night, and it looked so much like Cedar Key. The salt marsh, the gulf, the little beach. And I can tell you, like Cedar Key, it did get pretty dark out there last night. There's not a lot of ambient or extra light bouncing around. Cedar Key is still one of the places in the United States where astronomers come in the month of February to stargaze, because it doesn't have much ambient light. People can really see the galaxies. And that's in 2025. So imagine what it would have been like, say, in 1945 or 1950. And so my dad would tell this story. He was born in 1947, so in the early 1950s, once he got to be about 7 or 8 years old, my grandfather would take him out fishing at night. Mullet fishing was done with nets at the time, and these little skiff boats that are very shallow and can go through the oyster bars in that area. And nighttime fishing in cold months is the best, because that's when the fish school up. And what we call holes. So if you want to ensure a good Christmas, where you make enough money to provide your family a good Christmas dinner and some presents, you got to get yourself out in the marsh fishing in the middle of the night in the month of December. And it's cold. And it's pitch black dark. My dad would tell stories of he could only see about this far in front of his face. And beginning when he was about 7 or 8 years old, my dad had one job on that boat. He was to stand there with this very lantern and hold it up and shine it where my grandfather had put the nets over the boat, so he could see what he was doing as he was pulling in those nets full of mullet. And my grandfather said these words to him. He said, "Wesley, your job is to mind the light." And you know, when I think about it, that's our job too. We're called to mind the light. The light of the Holy Spirit, God's goodness and grace and truth, that's already with us. We're called to mind it, to make sure it still shines, even in the midst of this dark and hurting and chaotic world. It doesn't go away, but it's our responsibility, our commandment, to keep it shining. Yes. To be out in those places in the community where people are hurting and lost and lonely. What will you do in your church, whether you have 4 in attendance or 400? What are you doing to mind God's good light? What are you doing to shine the Holy Spirit's power onto a dark and hurting world? Friends, it's up to us. One of my favorite professors in seminary always said, and I don't think it's hyperbole, he always said, the Christian religion is always one generation away from extinction. And while you think about it, that's right. If we stop telling the story, if we stop sharing light, how is anyone coming after us to know about it? So friends, I ask you this today. As you go back into your churches tomorrow, how will you mind the light in your communities, in your churches? What will you be willing to do, maybe a little differently, in order to share God's unconditional love with hurting and lost and lonely people? The world needs us even more than ever right now. We're the ones we've been waiting for. It's us. Go into the world this afternoon and in all the days that follow, minding Christ's light, shining it brightly for all to see, and watch God do things you never thought imaginable. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we give you so much thanks that you came to us as one of us. To live our lives, to die our death, but then do something none of us can do. Be resurrected from the dead. That promises us eternal life in heaven, but it also promises us a new life in the here and now. Help us put away all those things that attempt to swallow us and keep us in the pit. And come into our lives so intensely that we have no choice but to go out and use the rest of our lives to share your good news, your unconditional love. Help us, God, to mind the light. Amen.